Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you all are ready for a good show. Anybody that has ever accused me of being a MAGA extremist or anything like that in the past, I think is pretty going to have a rude awakening today, I believe. Hope you guys are ready for it. Morning, Nana Gang. I think he needs to fire some advisors, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you, but that's how I'm feeling today. I feel like somebody maybe did him dirty, but who knows? Maybe this is some genius Trump stuff we've never heard of. Pants check. Yeah, I'm wearing pants. I got pants on today. Don't you worry about me. I got them pants on. Shiza, you know, I didn't think it was actually going to happen. I didn't think he would actually be that silly to think to meet up with Al Jelani. Turns out he did. He flew, he was back over inside Saudi Arabia. Him, the crown prince, and everybody ended up sitting down and you know, shaking hands with this man, Al Jelani. You guys have heard me talk about him on the show numerous times in the past. I mean, this is the equivalent of literally meeting up with al-Baghdadi. It's the equivalent of meeting up with Osama bin Laden. It's the equivalent of meeting up with, I don't know, pick a terrorist, throw his name out there. That's who he shook hands with today. Now, there is a lot of things that are going around where people are saying, well, hey, remember, it's only gay if you wink. That's right. Somebody made a comment today. Over on an X post I made. I put a whole video together on Al Jelani. I think it was like 2 weeks ago when HTS was first running around. Well, not when they were first running around slaughtering the Druze, but I will tell you that the amount of research that I did with everything that was going on with the Druze, for those of you that know, I did a members-only live that ended up having to take down one night. And what I did was I showed everything that Jelani's troops were actually over inside Syria doing. It included like massacring Christians, massacring, like basically anybody that didn't like subscribe to the radical Islamic belief, they were murdering. And I'm talking like stacks of bodies. One field, it was alleged 500 bodies in one particular field. And that included a man that ended up backing them up. This is just kind of one of those things that when you see it, your head kind of explodes, that it just shouldn't be that way. This man, not only, by the way, not only is, you know, the leader of a terror organization, not only is that organization a designated foreign terror organization by the United States of America, something I haven't talked about before in the past, he was actually arrested in Iraq in 2005, definitely responsible for the death of U.S. service members inside of Iraq, as far as I'm concerned. Lee Roper for $1.99, Middle East deployments are going to be wild soon. Right. And you know, like, again, in my mind, meeting, it's like the equivalent of meeting with Osama bin Laden. The al-Nusra Front, ANF, regardless of what people think, I think I read something on U.S. Intel reports talking about ANF was not inside of Iraq. They didn't go over there. ANF was formed because, you know, Jelani got sent to Syria to start recruiting for ISIS, or not ISIS, K, AQI. And that's kind of where the al-Nusra Front and everything else came around. Definitely remember hearing reports of the al-Nusra Front over inside of Iraq. And of course, Jelani arrested over inside of Iraq. I mean, it's just, it's one of those things that just really makes your blood boil at the end of the day. But instead of having my blood boil on things, I want to talk about facts of some possibilities that may or may not have occurred during this meeting. Right? Some possibilities that may or may not have occurred during this meeting. Now, I wasn't able to find their source for it, and they ended up not citing it, but allegedly these are the things that they ended up discussing over between the three of them, right? Between Donald Trump, the freaking crown prince, and all Jelani. Here's what they went over. They said, excuse me, President Trump, all right, demanded that Jelani join the Abraham Accords and normalize ties with Israel. I'll touch on that in a minute. Expel all foreign terrorist groups from Syrian territory. So quite literally, when I say that Trump's advisors need fired, this is exactly what I'm talking about. If one of his points was to expel all foreign terror groups from Syria, the man standing to Trump's left literally founded and led a U.S. designated foreign terror organization in order to get himself put into power over inside of Syria. HTS is a designated FTO by the United States of America. There's a lot of them over there. But the one that put this man in power that he founded and led, which is still currently listed as a FTO, a foreign terror organization by the United States of America, Trump would have just said that he has to expel his freaking own organization, which would include himself, because he's the leader of that dang organization. So who the hell is advising Donald Trump on this matter? Seriously. Seriously, who the hell is advising him? And by the way, I'm not done with this part yet. Let's talk about this other one. Let's talk about the other elephant in the room that, wait, let me finish going through it. So that was the second demand. Then we have remove Palestinian terrorists from the country. Great. Assist the U.S. in blocking any ISIS resurgence. For those of you that don't know, al-Jelani was asked to join ISIS by al-Baghdadi. Al-Baghdadi actually was in charge of al-Jelani for a while, right? This man with his purple tie up here on the screen, standing on Trump's left, your right, this guy right here. He was actually working for al-Baghdadi and al-Qaeda in Iraq, or AQI. He got told that he needed to take his forces and fall in line underneath ISIS after Baghdadi ended up getting kicked out of AQI, or AQI ended up getting unaffiliated with al-Qaeda. So when Trump tells him assist the U.S. in blocking any ISIS resurgence, I think it's a little bit funny, because The entire reason Jelani said he didn't want to join ISIS or he refused to do it on the world stage was that he wanted to be remain Syrian centric when it came down to the Islamic Caliphate. And for those that don't know, Jelani actually has family ties to the Prophet Muhammad. His family claims bloodline to the Prophet Muhammad. So does al-Baghdadi. See, in order to be like the caliph, right, of an Islamic state or the Islamic Caliphate, you got to have, according to the Sunnis, you got to have your bloodline tie to the Prophet Muhammad. Jelani's family has one. So did Baghdadi. But the problem is Jelani used to work for Baghdadi. So if he would have fallen in line, he would have had no claim to be the next caliph. He would have had to fall underneath Baghdadi. He wouldn't have had it. So instead, he went over and he started, how do you want to call it, politicking, and ended up forming HTS. He grabbed a bunch of groups on the ground. He was already a popular guy. He founded ANF. And he was able to get all of these different terror organizations. And once he had them all together, then he then it fell under the umbrella of HTS, which is why when you look at the FTO designation for the al-Nusra Front, it says HTS behind it in parentheses because he did them both. Patrick Loud, Jelani should owe Trump one for taking out Baghdadi during his first term. You're right. Jelani owes Trump one. Because if Baghdadi was still there, he wouldn't have a claim to the freaking caliphate, right? Couldn't do it. Now he can. Russians also blame the advisors when they are afraid to blame Putin. Maybe sometimes you need to blame the man in charge. Well, again, I would love to blame the man in charge, except for one of the freaking, quite literally, one of the lines that he had. And I am blaming this man because I do believe that you should do your own damn due diligence, especially when you're meeting up with people like this. We're going to go over what he said about him here in just a second. But when he says expel all foreign terror groups from Syrian territory, and he tells a man that leads the largest foreign terror organization inside Syria that he needs to expel his own dang foreign terror organization, including himself, it kind of tells me that I don't think he got all of the facts. Muhammad didn't have any kids. How? Jesus. I will get into all of that here in a little bit. I don't really feel like getting into Islam right now. Take control of ISIS detention centers in northeastern Syria. Well, he's going to do that as soon as he gets a hold of them. For those of you guys that didn't know, I did a video, and you can find it. You can find it up over on the YouTube channel. It goes back just a little bit. It's called, I believe, I put ISIS 2.0 in the description of the video, and I highly encourage you guys to get over there and go watch it. Inside of the video, I highlight something, and that is all of the chemical weapons plants that Jelani currently holds on to. Let me open this up for you. All right, so here's your map of Syria. All right, spent a long time putting this together. When Bashar Assad ended up getting, ousted by al-Jelani and his people, he ended up flying off to Russia, right? Israel went over and they conducted a buttload of airstrikes all across Syria. Buttload of airstrikes. Well, I say all across Syria. They were basically Damascus and south into the west. Okay, so Damascus, south and west. They also conducted a couple of raids a little bit earlier on in that year. And then they conducted a couple airstrikes up over here, right, in this northwestern corner, right? And they attempted to target all of the chemical weapon sites over inside Syria, but they didn't get them all. And I know they didn't get them all. As a matter of fact, there is a report that says there's over 1,000 of them that still exist. And as you can see up here on this map, minus these two up over here, there is plenty that are that we know of that are within Jelani's control. So not only do we have him as a terrorist, but we have him in control of chemical weapons. That's a large issue for me when we start talking about it. I could probably find it just by going down here, but I know exactly where I'm going to get it. I'll show you guys something else. I had talked about this before. Here's your official posting by the U.S. Embassy in Syria. We remain committed to bringing leading AQS figures in HTS to justice. This is him. He did, in fact, have a $10 million bounty on his head. He is a specially designated foreign terrorist by the United States of America. So not just HTS, but also Jelani himself, specially designated foreign or terrorist, right? The guy is literally a pile of garbage wrapped up in a suit and tie. Lee Roper, maybe there's a business deal we don't see going on with Syria since Trump is a businessman. Thank you for bringing that up. I appreciate you bringing that up. Somebody had pointed out that Trump also met with Kim Jong-un during his first administration, and it doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have ties. I agree. It does not. However, there is a difference between al-Jawlani and Kim Jong-un. Kim Jong-un didn't go around killing U.S. troops, the last that I checked. Kim Jong-un wasn't friends with al-Baghdadi. Kim Jong-un didn't do a lot of things. He may have been supplying some ICBM components to Iran, things of that nature. He's definitely helping out Russia right now. That was all before Trump ended up meeting up with him. But at the end of the day, Jelani's a different breed. This is like us meeting up with Osama bin Laden. I can't put it any other way. And here's the other issue, is what you're counting on is this man's word. By shaking hands with this man, you're counting on his word. And we can look at his track record since he's taken over Syria and the different things that they have done inside there for whether or not we can actually trust this man. In Matt's opinion, the answer is no, we cannot. He is not a trustworthy individual. We know this because he ended up saying that they weren't going to be doing all of the things that they've been doing since they've been inside Syria. When I was investigating all of the murders and the fighting that was going on with the Druze south of Damascus, just a week to 2 weeks, the amount of horrific shit that I came across that Jelani and his men had done inside Syria is insane. I think it was, a week ago when Israel ended up conducting an airstrike outside of his palace because Jelani's forces were riding south to go massacre and murder Druze. And in fact, they did. A lot of HTS members ended up getting balled up, getting killed. But they also kill a lot of Druze, and they also kill a lot of Christians. And they've been doing it at a massive rate ever since they took over. And one bomb, actually it was two if I remember right, dropped outside of Jelani's presidential palace over inside of Syria. They were able to get them to stop. Jelani is directly controlling these troops. He's saying one thing while he's busy wearing a suit and tie, and he's doing a completely different thing. He can't be trusted. And if those are your demands, you do not have to meet up with the man and shake his damn hand in order to accomplish that. And I'll tell you something else that you absolutely do not have to do. Let me find it. Here's something else that you don't have to do. This right here.
How did you find the Syrian president?
Right. I think very good. Young, attractive guy, tough guy. You know, strong pass. Very strong pass fighter.
Is that wordy?
But he's got a real shot at pulling it together.
How did you find
He's got a real shot at pulling it together. Strong man, fighter. Okay, that's fair. I can do that from a soldier level when it goes down to respect. I can say that he's a strong leader. He has all of those things. I wouldn't take that as disrespectful, but saying he's got a real shot at fixing the region, that's where he's wrong. Now, when someone brought up diplomacy and a good reason why Trump might be over there because he's making business deals. Okay, I'll hear you on that. Business deals. But you don't have to go shake his hand in order to make that business deal. You don't have to see him face to face in order to make that business deal. We already know that Jelani has gone back on his word. We already know that HTS has been murdering a shitload of people because they don't fall underneath their religious ideology. We know all of these things. And so why meet up and shake his hand? Unless Trump said, if you don't do exactly what I tell you, I'm going to kill you. Which I didn't hear. I didn't see. Anybody else see it? I didn't. There was maybe I'm wrong, but they ended up having a pretty public meeting. Ended up having a very public meeting. There's no need to go meet up with al-Jelani in order to make that happen. You can simply send him a letter, like we did to the Ayatollah. Now, there's something to be said about, okay, well, now he's technically running the country. He's technically in charge of the country. Maybe we should, we need to accept that and try to find a way to move forward. And I would agree with you if this was a legitimate group, not a foreign terror organization that had toppled a freaking government like Assad's, that wasn't committing genocide, whose leader didn't want to start an Islamic caliphate and didn't want to fall underneath al-Baghdadi's caliphate because he's got freaking bloodline claims. There is a huge difference when we start comparing these things and we start talking about it and what's going to happen. Even if Jilani comes out and says, I am going to play nice, I am going to allow this to happen, I am going to make sure that these ISIS camps are taken care of. Great. Then they're under his control. Presidential pardon for all of his ISIS members, and they can all fall in line and inside of his military. I don't know what he's going to do about it, but I know it's not going to be good. Jilani is not somebody that you can legitimately trust. Now, that business deal, likely, right, that we're talking about, why would he meet up with him? Why would it be so important that he would have to go there? The only reason that I can think that Trump would have to go and meet up with this man is so that they can get a deal set for the Palestinians getting out of Gaza. That is the only reason I can think of for why Trump would have to meet up with him. Because Israel, within the next couple of days, is likely going to start attacking Gaza. Yesterday, they ended up issuing out a warning for Jabalia, telling everybody to get out of Dodge because they ended up shooting a bunch of rockets at Israel following the attack of Mohammed Sinwar. They came out of Jabalia, so Israel's going in. And once they go in, they're going to continue to push and they're going to continue to clear. Now, all of those freaking Palestinians inside Gaza are going to get shoved south down into Rafah. And from there, they're going to get processed and they're going to get exported somewhere else. And what the rumor was, or what was supposed to be happening, is they're supposed to be going over into refugee camps over inside of Syria, where UNRWA had already set up all of this crap and it existed for years. Some of them are internationally ran, some of them are like little national camps, but there's room for a buttload of them over there. Netanyahu estimates that right around 50% of the population inside Gaza is going to want to leave. They're going to take them up on that offer and they're going to get out. Adami K, Adam EK, I'm not sure how to pronounce you, brother, but thanks for becoming a true supporter. So that's the only reason I can think of that Trump would want to meet up and shake his hand. Now, before Trump even met with him, he ended up announcing that he was going to remove all of the sanctions on Syria. So we're lifting the sanctions on Syria. The people over inside of Syria celebrated in the streets out in Damascus yesterday. Really huge celebration. They were pumping their fists. They were just getting it. But also what took place in Damascus over the last week is massacres, where they were murdering people for wearing particular types of clothes that they didn't agree with. I've got the videos. I can pull them up and I can show you. Women that were wearing Western-style clothes ended up getting shot in the frickin' head. Those are the same people that were celebrating the sanctions being lifted. The people that support al-Jilani are the same people that support people like that being massacred. I've seen stacks on stacks on stacks of bodies inside of Syria. And I know if I have seen them, so the hell has our intelligence community. We are well aware of this. There's no way, there's not a snowball's chance in hell that they're not aware of this. So why is Jilani allowed to exist? Why is he meeting with Trump? And the only thing I can think of is because they are more concerned with getting Gaza cleared out. And this is why I say his advisors need fired, because it would be a huge mistake to make a deal with Jilani. Because it is a matter of flipping time. It is a matter of time before the world forgets that he exists, and he goes over and he starts doing what he wants, and before you know it, another Islamic caliphate is going to get declared. And it's going to be inside of Syria, and we're going to have a whole other set of issues that's going to be 10 times worse than Gaza on our hands. Not to mention, if we're moving the Palestinians over into that area that would want to live in such a freaking way, they're going to likely join up and just make it stronger. And so then you're going to have these Palestinians that the freaking radical left is somehow siding with. alongside of Al Jelani and his freaking people, and they're going to start a whole other PR campaign about why it's freaking amazing. This is probably one of the biggest freaking shots to the face that America could have taken. You don't get to deal with this devil. It's funny how people are sitting there in the comment section trying to let me know, hey, look, Trump should definitely side with him. What's this comment right here? Micah, you can tell he's just a soldier. You can't take over the world, dude. You have to deal with the devils you get, not the angels you want. Or Tarto, you killed people. So if you become a leader, would you be a terrorist? No, Micah, I highly suggest you go and look up the freaking definition of terrorist. I really do. I hope you go look it up and I hope you check it out. And you're damn right, I killed people. I killed people that were murdering their own. I killed people that were torturing their own. I killed people that were raping women. I killed people that were taking kids and using them as human shields. I killed people that were taking kids and using them as child soldiers. I killed people that quite literally held people in front of them, civilians, as human shields, while engaged in active combat. Those are the people I killed. I didn't take innocent people and wrap debt cord around their head, force them to kneel on landmines. I didn't declare martial law over an entire area and force them to dig. I didn't shut down all girls' schools. I didn't shut down any female institutions. As a matter of fact, we reopened them. I didn't outlaw music. As a matter of fact, the people I killed did. And it's not the devil I know that I need to deal with. It's the devil I know that I need to kill, that the United States needs to. And that's not an option that Matt chose. That's an option that they chose. Whether you like it or not. Matt, you always ruin my nickname. It's Adamic with short K. I'm Polish. Try ready. It's like Adamic. Sorry for interrupting the subject. You're good, brother. You're good, brother. No, that's not me saying I did my job. That's quite literally me telling you what it is. Those are like the facts on the ground of what these people do. Fox McCloud, can we stop making the excuse that he is a businessman? It's a lame excuse. To be clear, I voted for him. Same. I did too. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. Just because you vote for somebody doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything they do. You don't. You really don't. Just because you vote for somebody doesn't mean you have to agree with everything they do. You're only given a couple options. You vote for who you think is going to be best, and you hope and you pray that they do the right thing. And in this case, clearly they didn't. Clearly they didn't. Like it or not, Trump is getting things done regardless of your feelings. I voted for this. Clyde, you voted for him to meet up with a terrorist. I don't think you did. I don't think you did, Clyde. Particularly if that terrorist was responsible for killing some of your buddies, I think you might be a little bit upset about it as well. I really do. Again, it's like shaking hands with Osama bin Laden. How do you think it would look if Osama bin Laden was alive today and Trump went over and shook hands with him and was like, hey, just recognize Israel, buddy? It wouldn't look good. And this is like half the problem I have when it comes down to people in politics or podcasters or freaking anybody. They'll choose one path and they'll stick to it. And this is why the followers on this channel tend to go up and down and up and down and up and down. We'll go up a couple thousand, we'll go down a couple thousand, then we'll go up a couple thousand, then we'll go down. Why? Because people are looking for their own confirmation bias every single time. It's okay for me to praise Trump when he does good and for me to let you know when I feel like he's made a mistake. Dakota, I wish you would have been Secretary of Offense. Yeah, if I'd have been Secretary of Offense, Jelani would have had a bomb dropped on his head already. That's exactly what would have happened. All right. Trump made some statements on Gaza. Let's give him a listen.
My administration shares the hope of so many in this region for future of safety and dignity of the Palestinian people, but that cannot happen as long as Gaza's leaders take delight in raping, torturing, and murdering innocent people. Can't have it. I greatly appreciate the constructive role that the leaders in this room have played in trying to bring the terrible conflict to an end, including by helping secure the release of American hostage Idan Alexander. It was a big day yesterday, a very important day. I was told just before I left that they were going to be releasing Idan. We thought Idan was dead. 3 weeks ago, they said Idan was no longer living. And it was a very, very good thing. Ultimately, all hostages of all nationalities must be released as a stepping stone to peace. And I think it's going to be happening. A lot of things are happening. A lot of very positive things are happening on every front.
A lot of very positive things are happening on every front. He kind of nailed it on that one. Well, let's go take a look and listen to this next clip over here. Somebody made a very valid point, which was Trump dealing with Qatar, and that if, how do I want to say this? If Trump wanted to, I'll just let the man speak.
We need more pressure, not just on Hamas, but on Hamas's backers, specifically the royal family of Qatar, the regime in Qatar, which seem to have told Hamas just recently that it needs to free the American hostage. Qatar clearly could tell Hamas to release the hostages. It is not doing this. It is clear that Qatar told Hamas to keep the hostages until Hamas gets a deal that allows Hamas to remain in power. So let's shift some of the focus to Qatar, where Hamas's leaders are living quite comfortably, despite the fact that they engaged in a barbaric war crime on October 7th. They are living in Qatar comfortably. We need more pressure on Qatar to extradite Hamas leaders so that they can face trial for crimes against humanity.
Well, Daniel, Donald Trump will be visiting Doha in Qatar this week. I wonder if that will be a conversation topic that we'll see happen.
I'm not optimistic that it will be a conversation that we will see happen. I seem to be a minority voice on this that is screaming about the role of Qatar. Most people prefer to ignore it because Qatar has paid so many people to be in a position where it's beneficial to them to ignore it. But it's very clear that Qatar thought that the October 7th massacre was a good idea. On the afternoon of October 7th, Qatar put out a statement condemning Israel. Qatar said that Israel was solely responsible for the October 7th massacre, and Qatar has consistently taken grossly irresponsible positions that put everyone in danger and prolong the war. So I'm using the platform that you have graciously provided me to let your viewers know about the role that Qatar is playing. Qatar told Hamas to keep the hostages. Qatar is behaving like an enemy state, and I hope the whole world will...
Daniel Rubin.
So Interstellar Reaper, this man makes a valid point. Interstellar Reaper says, Matt, so what should Trump do instead of shaking hands with the enemy to facilitate peace? Trump shook hands with Kim Jong-un for peace in South Korea. Ah, Interstellar Reaper, the problem is with the phrasing of your question. You said, what should he do instead of shaking hands with the enemy to facilitate peace? The mistake is in your question. You think that by Trump shaking hands with Jelani, it's going to somehow facilitate peace. It's not. Jelani's in an HTS because, like, let's put it this way. For over a decade, the man fought in war in order to A, overthrow the Assad regime, and B, to establish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. And in order to do that, they ended up massacring a buttload of people everywhere they went in order to gain more strength and continue to move on. There is nothing about his ideology, that his religious ideology, his political ideology, or the actions he's taken over the last 10 years that should lead anybody to believe that just because he signs on to the Abraham Accords, that somehow he is going to recognize the sovereignty of Israel in 5 years. What you're doing is you're passing off today's problem for a future major issue. This is what I've been trying to scream at the top of my lungs, that if you make a deal with him today, you will get your temporary peace. But in 5 years, my kids, your kids, the sons and daughters of America are going to have to go over there and deal with it. And he's going to be 10 times stronger. And is just as I laid out before all this crap, the freaking man has chemical weapons in his hands. Underneath his direct control, Israel will be under threat.
other nations in the region will be under threat. Because you have to understand the freaking ideology behind what put him in power. If he starts stepping away from that ideology, he loses power. They'll kill him. They'll kick him out. He won't be in charge. He'll have an entire country of jihadists. It's not going to do him any good. And it's going to create more instability in the region. So that's the problem. You want to know what I would do if I was Trump? I wouldn't evacuate a single damn Palestinian. I would tell them to deal with their freaking problems that they made that no other country wants to accept you. And we're not going to cut a deal with Al Jilani in order to facilitate international appeasement. I would show facts and I would make the international community accept the fact that the overwhelming majority inside Gaza supports Hamas. And I would make them sit and sleep in the bed that they made down inside Rafah while we rebuild the Gaza Strip. And I don't give a shit how uncomfortable their life is. If we can cut deals with Al Jilani, we sure as shit can cut deals with Egypt and force them to give up a tiny little chunk of the Sinai Peninsula and just spend some damn money and build them a massive refugee camp over there. And keep the FTO designation on Jilani. Turn that place into a freaking wasteland for all I care. But when you internationally recognize him like that by saying that when he signs the Abraham Accords and all of this other crap, you're adding more validity on the international stage to make him a formal leader and eventually he will declare himself caliph. And you're going to have even more terrorist problems. That's what I would do. And deal with Jilani as it comes. We got other shit to worry about right now. Let him keep doing his thing in Syria. We'll freaking go and we'll take care of our own little agenda that we've got going on there. We'll make sure the Kurds are okay. Everything else. Israel can protect its own border from Jilani, just like they proved last week. And take those freaking Palestinians and shove them in the freaking Sinai Peninsula. Or keep them in Rafah. It doesn't matter. But make them sleep in the bed that they made. There's no need to shove them into another country. That's my response. That's my answer. The Light Life, member for 3 months. This channel is a rock. Thank God for bringing back our boy, Adan. Prayers for remaining hostages. Excellent video on his return, Matt. Hugging mom. Aw, thank you, ma'am. Appreciate you. There is zero reason for us to cut a deal with Jilani. None. Unless I'm missing something. Let Turkey deal with that crap. Give us more reasons to get Turkey out of NATO and find a way. Focus your efforts there on a crooked ass country that we should have no business with whatsoever. Figure it out. But whatever you do, don't meet up and shake hands with a man that's going to want to establish a Sunni Islamic caliphate. Fox McCloud says there's no such thing as an honest deal with Islam. Interstellar Reaper, thanks for answering my question. You're welcome, brother. I've been asked to go into the Discord, and I feel like this is one of those things we're gonna have a good little discussion on here. So I'm gonna do that because I am curious to hear what you guys have to say about this, and I want to have an actual discussion about Jilani. I want to know what you guys think about it. I don't agree with it. I saw Nate Vance put up today that he wasn't a big fan of it either. I think it's a mistake. I think it's a massive mistake. And I think we're going to end up losing more sons and daughters of America, like American sons and daughters in the future. Brian, what's up, brother?
What's up?
How do you feel about this whole thing?
I think it's insane. I mean, there could be some information we don't know.
Right.
That the government knows and that there's a reason behind this. But at the same time, it just makes everybody scratch their head going, what in the heck is going on with Why is Trump doing this? Why is there no transparency?
Right. Well, I mean, there was the transparency. He came out and said what? That they wanted like those freaking demands, right? Like expel the FTOs, sign the Abraham Accords, stuff like that. That's the transparency. And it's like, yeah. And we lifted sanctions before that.
Yeah, I'm wondering if there's gonna like a backdoor agreement with all the chemical weapons stuff that we just don't know about yet.
There could be, but how do you guarantee that? It's like guaranteeing things over inside of Iran, which I guess some is better than none, right? But if we're that concerned about it, that we've got to meet up and legitimize, you know, this large of like a freaking terrorist as a leader of a country, we've got other problems. Like that's the point. You just put boots on the ground instead of giving a man an entire country.
Exactly.
Ross Bogus, what you got, bud?
I got a little bit different point of view than you. I apologize. I kind of lost my voice. I went to Carolina hockey 2 days ago. I'm still recovering, but anyway, number one, I wanted to tell you, love your hat. I want that hat. Number two, so my girlfriend is Lebanese. I was in Beirut like a year ago.
Okay.
And her family are Sunni and they hate the Syrians. But I think it's because they flooded the borders. And now what you're talking about is they're going to flood the borders the other direction, right? With the Gaza people.
Well, what they're talking about is flooding. What they're talking about is putting the Palestinians in refugee camps inside of Syria. And after Jelani took power, you did have the Lebanese military that was fighting with HTS over on the border for a while, and they were like looking at pushing in, and it was this whole freaking shit show. And Hezbollah has been fighting Jelani's men for a while, right? So there's a lot of beef in between the two. And I don't think Jelani's going to stop there. I see him looking at pushing and expanding a little bit more to get, because Hezbollah is going to go after him, obviously. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree with everything you say, except for, I don't know. Trump meeting with Jelani is insane.
Absolutely insane.
But I have confidence in Trump that he's got something working that we don't know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's got a plan for it. Like I said, and this is where I have an issue with his advisors, is how can you say expel all of the foreign terror organizations when the man you're meeting up with is the leader of the largest foreign terror organization inside of Syria?
Yeah, I don't know. I think we should kill that guy.
Right. I'll go put a bullet in his ass today.
I think we should kill him. We should kill the Ayatollah, and everything can be peaceful again for a little while, at least, right?
Yeah. Ah, oh, man.
I don't know. I don't run the world, so I do. Actually, Trump is my boss. I work for Social Security, and so he's making our lives miserable. I'm kind of boycotting what he's doing with Doge and all that crap.
Yeah, he's got. You don't have to agree with everything he does. You don't have to, like, as a matter of fact, you should agree with some things and disagree with other things. It shows that you're a free thinker, right? Like, I've given Biden praise before, as much as I hate doing it when he does something right. It's not very often, but I do it.
Yeah.
Nate, good morning, sir. How are you?
I mean, I think we're on the same page. I'm very wary of this meeting. You know, and the concept that you would move the Gazans or Palestinians, whatever you want to call them, into Syria, you know, like with the potential for this guy claiming to be the caliph and the Palestinians being primarily Sunnis, you're just feeding him with a population that is already militant.
Of radicals.
Yeah, you're giving him fire.
It's like a big recruiting fucking ad for him. I mean, it's like, thanks for the new soldiers. I appreciate it. But you know, like there is that concept. Well, you know, people can change, and that's true. People can change, but you have to look at what they're doing, and what his people are doing there doesn't indicate change.
No.
Right. Like if he had taken over Syria and was being like, okay, and he was honoring his word and kind of folding all these other, you know, minority groups under the umbrella of the new Syria, and everything was copacetic and peaceful. I mean, I get there's going to be little clashes and things after a revolution, but if he was doing that, I might be more, you know, amenable to the concept that this guy's changed his tune, but he's doing the same shit he did 15 years ago.
He hasn't changed his tune.
No.
What's your cousin have to say about it?
This is my handshake. This is my handshake. Right in the face. 10 mil. Make sure you canoe it. You know yep. what I mean? Just get it over with.
Yeah. I would assume that the administration is in lockstep on this issue. And there's probably some other things that are going on. But like I said, my biggest issue is trading tomorrow's problems for today. Or today's problems for tomorrow. You're kicking the can further down the road. And if
yeah, I mean,
if it turns out that's why we're doing it. It's a huge mistake. You know, if we're looking at having a place to shove Palestinians, it's a huge mistake. We could put the same damn pressure on Egypt to make that happen over in the Sinai. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I want to know. Like, why are we sending them to Sinai? Right? That's
yeah. So,
brother, so, your mic is horrible. Whoever's speaking right now, I'm sorry, man. Your mic's horrible. It's really bad. It's worse than mine has ever been, I think. No offense.
Let me see, Matt. Let me see if I can pull up this. It's this thing that Intel Schizo wrote the other day. And I'll read it to you if you don't mind. It's like it'll take me like a minute or two, but
yeah, please do.
I don't know how I feel about it, but it says, okay, U.S. drops sanctions on Syria. Everyone is going to stop sanctions, which will uplift nearly 90% of the Syrian population that lives in poverty and will help springboard investments, reconstructions of infrastructure, and rebound the economy. Russia sees its last remaining leverage over Syria evaporate. Israel sees its closest ally give a full endorsement of the new Syrian government, hindering plans for exploitations or exploiting sectarian tensions to create smaller sectarian states. Iran sees new Syrian government being successful at stabilizing the country and economy, thus undermining its ability to conduct operations in Syria, and Lebanon hindering their ability to rebuild the Shia crescent. Europe wins with opening the door for the Qatar-Turkey pipeline, which will further decrease their reliance on Russian gas. Egypt, Israel, Jordan win with the opening the door for Arab gas pipeline extension, which would also go to Europe. Now, to me, if Trump, like the unfortunate thing is like if Trump is thinking in terms of facilitating a pipeline to kind of bypass the Suez Canal and the Strait of Hormuz and take those off the table, because that's, you know, the Strait of Hormuz is pretty much Iran's only leverage. Sans nuclear weapons, right? If mm-hmm. they have nuclear weapons, then they have more right. leverage. But right now, it's just the partial control or the ability to influence that Strait of Hormuz. And then they were trying to do the Suez Canal through the Houthis. If you can get that pipeline built and stabilize things long enough for that to work, and you're thinking about just improving the economic situation in Europe, that's a good thing. But there are some unintended consequences that may come from this, like what you're talking about in 5 or 10 years if this idiot does decide to declare himself the caliph. Is the juice worth a squeeze? I don't know. I hope it is, right? I hope they can control this guy and prevent him from doing those things, but yeah. I just don't know.
Yeah, I don't... Oh, Jesus. It's the 20th anniversary of his arrest by U.S. forces in Iraq as well. I didn't even notice that. It is. It's the 20th anniversary of Jelani's arrest in Iraq. Wow.
Jesus. And the other thing is, like, I know that the president's going to have to meet, like we mentioned yesterday. Sometimes you got to, you know, rub elbows with really, you know, shady, terrible people.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. I just don't want him to seem like, you know, I don't like the public backslapping and, you know, looks like they're hanging out with the boys. With a terrorist. I don't like that.
No.
If you are going to meet with this guy, you do it kind of behind closed doors and you just say, okay, we established some ground rules and we met with him. I mean, I know that the president met with, you know, members of Al-Qaeda and you know, leaders from Al-Qaeda, they got to do that negotiating. I get it. But it, when it looks like you're buddy-buddy with them, it does just kind of establish credibility to, you know, if this guy does declare himself the caliph, now he's like, and by the way, I'm buddies with, you know.
Well, it gives him, again, it gives him credit.
Important I am.
It gives him credibility on the world stage. So it gives him credibility on the world stage. Yeah. And this is where my issue with it comes. I don't even necessarily agree with Intel Schizo on how it's going to improve the economy over there and uplift everybody out of poverty and everything else because of the situation that's actually on the ground. If the entire country was at peace and there wasn't like all of this crap taking place over there, I mean, he doesn't even control a massive chunk. He just controls Damascus. I mean, he controls a decent chunk, but it's also, you know, Damascus. And he's living in the presidential palace, and so he's going to declare himself the freaking leader, right? But there's a buttload of resistance all around that country. And so, like, saying that it's going to automatically uplift people from poverty, it's going to fix this, solve the problem, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I don't see that being the case. And there's also the issue that we ended up having, you know, the issue that we ended up having as well, which was, you know, finding people inside of that country. And this is my other deal, you know, like we went to go find people inside of that country that we could, I don't want to say this, that we could side with in order to fight against Bashar Assad. And we found 70 in the course of 1 year, 70 that didn't have ties to foreign terror organizations, 70 that didn't have ties, you know, into doing freaking crimes against humanity, all of that shit. We were only able to find 70. There's not that many good people inside of Syria. And I don't think people realize that. They want to look at like the world as if it's some sort of perfect utopia. It's not. And I understand that.
No.
But I also understand that Jelani, eventually, he'll behave for now until everybody's eyes turn. And then once their eyes are turned, just like what's happening over inside of Africa, you know, people are just going to get murdered.
You know, there's that phrase, you know, you can put a turd in a prom dress, but it's still a piece of shit.
Correct. Yeah, you like how many people know it's taking place in Burkina Faso right now? Sudan. Anybody? A couple other locations I can just start naming off where people are just getting murdered 10 times worse than anywhere else. Nobody cares once, like, you know, the politicking's over. They'll care once he goes to attack Israel. They'll care once he goes to start taking over portions of Iraq. They'll care about all of those things. They'll care once he goes after Jerusalem. That's when people are going to start caring.
I mean, we should be caring right now because he already slaughtered the Alawites. He already slaughtered the Christian. Like, matter of time before he does the Druze, right? But, yeah.
There's no getting away from it.
One of the kill shots or something said, I wish Trump would use YouTubers as their counsel. The world would be perfect. Look, I'm not claiming I know more than anybody else, but, you know, it's just taking the evidence that I do have and looking at the situation. And it seems like, you know, 2 + 2 = 4 on this one. The dude's probably a bad guy. And if we give him a bunch of credibility and the infrastructure of a state to be that bad guy, it could be potentially, you know, it could lead to really bad things.
But in Trump's defense, I mean, he did the same thing with Kim Jong-un, right? North Korea.
It's not the same, though. That's a false equivalency. It's a false equivalency. Why is it a false equivalency? Yeah. Radical religious ideology versus love of country. Those are two entirely different motivators. Right? Jelani is motivated by his radical religious ideology. Kim Jong-un is motivated by his love of country and how he was born and raised and grew up and everything else. And it's centric to, you know, like the Korean Peninsula. And he is supporting other freaking nations and things like that, like Russia, like Iran, right? But it's a very small contribution overall. And there's not a snowball's chance in hell that Kim Jong-un is going to start an international terror organization where he, you know, is going to be able to call in people from all around the world in order to start conducting jihad. It's two entirely different things.
I think it's still a radical ideology, right?
Okay, if Kim Jong-un...
You call it political or religious, it's the same shit.
It's a larger threat.
Right.
If Kim Jong-un declared a caliphate, who's going to show up? Who's going to follow Kim Jong-un's words to attack Americans here on our home front? Let's say the Epic Center in Texas gets shut down. Let's say the Epic Tech Center in Texas gets completely and totally shut down. Jelani comes out, declares himself caliph, and says, like, as the caliph, I think America is particularly targeting Muslims. And so because of that, now all of you that are over inside of the United States of America get to go over and start shooting people. That's the problem, is that Jelani's words will carry far and fast and inspire these different attacks when that happens.
I mean, they do have more people. They have
I'll give you another reason it's a little different is, let's say the goal is to, you know, build an oil pipeline through Syria and into Turkey, and then to get oil to Europe, so we don't have to rely on the Strait of Hormuz and the Suez Canal. You know, Kim Jong-un doesn't have anything to do with Europe or the rest of the world. He's a little hermit kingdom. If you give over, 30-40% of the world's energy resources and put it in a country that's ran by somebody that could declare himself the caliph and just control that, you're just trading one sense of control, the Iranians and the Shias over the Strait of Hormuz, for another religious nutcase murderer in Syria that can then do the same thing and just shut off the pipeline. And basically hold Europe hostage if he feels like it. So it's, you're just trading one problem for the other.
But now we got the deal with the Saudis, so, right? So that's a win.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter if the Saudis have a deal if all of their oil has to pass through Syria and this guy's in control of it. You see what I'm saying? True. The Saudis can be like, yeah, we're selling it to you, and then some asshole in Syria decides to shut the valve off in between. It's not Saudi's fault, and Saudi'd have to go to war over it to fix it. And then the other thing about religion versus, people that are like, non-secular, is you can reason with people who, like, when Kim Jong-un acts like an idiot, it's just because he wants something. But when a guy who's motivated by religious beliefs, how do you reason with that? How do you talk them out of their belief in God?
I don't think you can reason with Kim Jong-un either.
But that's why
I say they're the same. They're in the same boat.
But we have reasoned with
them. That's just my opinion.
But Trump went over there because he was shooting missiles over Japan, and then he had a talk with him, and then Kim Jong-un stopped shooting missiles over Japan. So apparently you can reason with him.
True.
Whereas, like, once a guy becomes a religious zealot and decides he wants to kill Christians or any non-believers, which is what he's doing, he's killing Alawites, he's killing Druze, he's killing anybody that doesn't believe, that's not a hardline Sunni Sharia law practitioner. You can't talk him out of it because God told him to do it. It's just hard to reason with.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand it, really. Like, I'm trying to understand, but
it's
difficult as a guy from Nebraska trying to figure all this crap out.
Sure. And that's,
yeah, I mean,
that's why we're both sitting here and trying to let you know that the moment Jelani opens his mouth in a situation like I described, there's going to be instant attacks here in the United States of America. Like, our threat level went through the ding roof. If Kim Jong-un said that, it's not going to hold that much weight.
But Matt,
hey, Matt, what's that?
Over and over.
Hold on.
And over
brother, let Nate go, please.
Matt, I was just going to ask you, what's that concept in Islam called where they can lie to infidels
Taqiyya?
And just to get what they want?
Taqiyya.
Yeah.
Yep, they can lie to us in order to advance, like, the religion. Yep, that's a fact. So, and when you ask them about it, they don't want to bring it up. They won't. They'll want to ignore it. And that's the other issue with Jelani, right? Is that he's allowed to sit there and he's allowed to say whatever the hell he wants and pretend like he is going to fall in line, when in reality, for the last 10 years, and this is the other big thing, right? You do not do what Jelani has done because your goal is becoming a respected world leader. You do not go over and massacre people for well over a decade, kill U.S. troops, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because you think that you're just going to be a respectable world leader one day. That's not how that works. Right? He did this for nothing short of religious ideology. It was clear when he told Baghdadi why he didn't want to join ISIS. It wasn't that he didn't believe in the Islamic Caliphate. It was that he wanted it to remain Syrian-centric, i.e. he wanted to be in freaking charge. He gave an outward appearance, an outward view on why he thought it was okay not to join, and then rallied a bunch of freaking Islamists and created the current terror organization that is in charge of Syria.
Agreed. I'd say we kill him.
Yeah, and I think there's a big difference between being an enemy combatant, right? Like, so, you know, I know there's Japanese soldiers and American soldiers from World War II that are friends now. It's a big difference between people that just join the military to support their nation.
Right.
And then cutting the head off a 16-year-old girl because she wears clothes you don't like.
Or busting into a nightclub and shooting everybody inside because they're wearing clothes you don't like.
Yeah.
Killing people just because they're Christians. Men, women, and children stacking up their bodies against a wall. Yeah. Or taking 500 people, taking 500 Druze in the middle of a field and massacring them.
All right, I got to go. I got to go back to work. But
all right, brother.
It was a pleasure. All right, later.
Later, man. So far in the poll, I ran a poll over on YouTube, Nate, and I asked, did Trump make a mistake by meeting with Giuliani? I said, yes, no, or I don't know. 60% roughly of the people say, yes, he made a mistake by meeting with Giuliani. 20% say no. Another 20-ish percent don't know, roughly. So 60% of people are like, yeah, this is a problem.
Yeah, and I mean, look, ultimately the future will tell us the ultimate results of that poll. I'm not optimistic. But I'd be totally happy to be wrong about how I think this is going to affect things.
Yeah, give me one second here. It's getting a bit freaking old. And I can appreciate all of the other things he's done, but I also am allowed to sit back and say, hey, look, you made a mistake. Like, you should not have met with this guy. There's other ways to go about doing this. I think the pipeline's a big deal. I think keeping things centered on, all of the crap that you and I have talked about financially when it comes to, like, you know, basically ripping away support from Russia, making the energy deal with Saudi Arabia, big freaking deal. Like weapon sales, got it. Great. All of these are good things. And dealing with Saudi Arabia, who is financing behind the scenes Hamas and trying to gain a little bit of control over them. I think diplomacy is the right way to go when it goes down to Saudi Arabia. I don't see a lot of issues there. I mean, there's some stuff that I don't like, but at the same time, all right, you're going to get shit done, right? When it goes down to recognizing a freaking jihadist as a president of a country, that's a problem to me. There's a huge problem. Dakota says, it's well above my knowledge, but I don't understand why we do deals with people like that. We should just tell them what's going to happen. You are correct. And that's what I'm saying. Or we should just stay the hell out of it. Hezbollah is about to be pushed out of southern Lebanon. Let them go over and freaking fight Giuliani for a while, and then you just mop up the remains, right? Like, there's tons of shit that you can do other than support all Giuliani. And hopefully, like, you know, proliferation of chemical weapons is one of those things that, you know, is going to take place in that deal that he talked to him about to make sure that all that stuff gets out of there. But again, how do you guarantee it? Who's going in there to guarantee it? Turkey?
That's exactly right. It's just like the Iranian nuclear deal, right? Every time you insist on somebody getting rid of something, you have to go in there and physically inspect it. You got to verify it.
Yeah. And maybe that's the one thing that we have going for us, is we have a NATO ally, quote unquote, over inside of, you know, Syria right now, but you can't trust them as far as you can throw them.
I don't even consider Turkey really part of NATO. I mean, I know they are, but not really. I mean, I think those guys suck.
Yeah. Hold on. Anyways, sorry. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you're welcome to say whatever you would like over inside of the chat, over on YouTube. Open it up that way for a reason. You're welcome to disagree with anything I'm saying. You're welcome to say pretty much whatever the hell you want. But at the point when you start spamming it and it's just getting freaking stacked inside of there with the same message over and over and over, where you're just stacking the chat, I'm going to block you. especially after I warn you. Not here to put up with your shit, and it's not a place for you to push all, I mean, crap like that. You can do that elsewhere. So just respect other people. Who is that that just came up talking? I missed it.
It's Lunchbox, actually.
Let's get with Gold.
I came up. I came up to hear what's. I just got in here.
Oh, Texas, what's up, buddy?
Hello. Great. Just great.
Hello.
Yeah, go ahead, Gold.
So, I have 3 points/questions, and I kind of wanted to hear your feedback. First off, thank you so much for what you do. You're doing God's work. I really appreciate all the hard work that you put into this channel.
Thank you.
So the first thing is, do you see a difference between the Saudis and Qatar in terms of their ambitions toward the West?
That's a pretty broad question, to be honest. Difference in what way?
With ambitions. Like to me, Qatar funds much of the global terrorism, from my understanding, and Saudi at most is kind of hands off in terms of their funding towards terrorism. Mm-hmm. Is that true, or is that like wrong?
No, that's quasi true, right? So Saudi Arabia came out, was it 2 weeks ago, I think, and told their people basically stop pushing Palestinian agenda. I can't remember if they made it illegal, Nate. You know what I'm talking about? I'd have to go look it up and see particularly what they said versus Qatar. You're right. They end up having all of those other people over inside of Qatar. I know you ended up having Ismail Haniyeh and several other people from Hamas. That's where they were like celebrating on October 7th. It's also a well-known place where you had members of the Taliban that would go. Same thing with like Al-Qaeda and several other places like that. I think they're very money or like very, very money motivated. When it comes down to things, the amount of money we end up paying for the Qatar airbase, I'd have to go look it up and see what we agreed to pay them, but it's a buttload of money. You also have Qatar that's funding like colleges and things like that over here in the United States of America, where you end up having a lot of this radical agenda that's being pushed. And so I think Qatar likes to do things more or less like behind the scenes versus Saudi Arabia is a little bit more open about it and kind of wants to come in the open, you know, like almost like a little bit more above ground and is just trying to remain regional, for if that makes any sense, versus Qatar seems to be pushing a lot of money to be pushing like radical agenda, but they do it kind of behind the scenes, and they don't necessarily openly support these people, but they do at the exact same time.
For sure. Yeah, I was, the reason why I ask is because from what I heard, I'm converting to Judaism, and other Jews that I talk to are have discussed how it's safe for a Jew to travel to the UAE, and especially in comparison to practically any other Arab nation. Mm-hmm. And so my thoughts on yesterday's visit was maybe Trump is trying to divide the nations, the Arab nations, in between those who would potentially be willing to join the Abraham Accords and those who obviously wouldn't. And I don't think, I'm with you 1,000% on everything that you said, but I don't necessarily think that Trump is naive enough to believe that these Arab nations, like Qatar, for instance, is going to follow through with whatever promise they say. And so it could potentially be a way for him to interject the United States to say, hey, you made this promise, you didn't fulfill this promise, and so now we need to handle you. And I think that's especially the case because Trump told Bibi, hey, go be the big guys over there in the Middle East, go handle things. And Bibi didn't step up to the plate. Instead, he's just kind of letting things happen.
Yeah. Nate, thoughts?
I just think, you know, when you say, like, when you, that whole region of the world, they think a little bit differently than we do. So when you say deal with them, if they don't live up to their end of the bargain, pretty much the only way to deal with them is to kill them, right? That's the only thing they really respect. And I hate to put it so crudely, but that's just basically
a fact,
how it is. So if they, if you make a deal with them and then they violate that deal and you say, now I'm upset with you, they don't care. They don't give a shit if you're upset with them. It's not going to sway their opinion or change them, right? So anytime, I mean, that's why you have to be really careful when you're dealing with those people in that part of the world. I'm not saying we shouldn't. We're going to have to. I mean, they're essentially, the world is, you know, just one big neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to be really careful with who you pick to deal with and how you set up those arrangements so that if somebody does violate it and does so in such a way that it's going to affect our way of life over here, and you want it to stop, the only way you're going to get them to stop violating that deal is to kill them. That's just pretty much how it works.
It's the only way it's going to work. And that's why I'm worried about Iran popping off. Like, I think, number one, I think Iran has kind of came to a head. Like, the U.S. situation with Iran, I talked about it a little bit last night. You know, we don't even have future negotiations with Iran scheduled right now. There's three European countries that are scheduled to send out, like, their envoys to meet up with one from Iran and Turkey. I want to say it's on Saturday, in an attempt to get Iran to come back to the negotiating table. But I think it'll be too late by then. Yeah, that's why I think it's going to be too late.
The bombers left Diego Garcia.
Yeah, we all heard that.
A couple days ago.
We all heard that, and so far it's weird. I'm not seeing any intel that's actually substantiating it either. Then I heard that some of them went down to Australia. I heard some of them went in other places. I went over and I tracked U.S. Navy fleet, and it looks like the Carl Vincent has moved closer to what the hell is it called over there? The Persian Gulf. It has kind of been like working its way around Yemen up over towards the Persian Gulf. Definitely moved itself within strike range and shutting some things off that are likely going to be coming out of there. I'd be surprised if they weren't doing interdiction operations and things like that, trying to intercept weapons that the IRGC is sending over to Yemen, things of that nature, but also within extremely close striking distance of Iran. I also think that Israel in this upcoming strike is going to want to take the lead, to be perfectly honest. When it comes to a lot of things, I think that we're going to end up providing a lot of like electronic warfare coverage for them over top of Iran, things of that nature. But I think we have two options: either wait for Iran to respond when Israel goes in and starts wiping out Hamas, because that's kind of one of their red lines, right? Like, leave their proxy forces alone. One of them, major one, being Hamas. And if Israel goes to remove them, Iran's going to respond. How that's going to be, good question. We don't know. We've seen Iran attack Israel two times with ballistic missiles. There's a new video out the other day that I saw of them talking about sending over 600 ballistic missiles at Israel to see how they're going to respond to that. I also think that, you know, we look at these things and we say, okay, well, the B-2 bombers, and I had talked with Nate about it, and about the nuclear bunker buster that we have, variable yield nuclear bunker buster, that they could employ over there in order to target some of these, you know, networks. If that's the case, then you don't necessarily need all of those freaking B-2s. So it just depends on what the strike package looks like. It could be a feint of us just moving people away to make Iran kind of let their, you know, feelings go down. But their aerial defense systems are on high alert right now. Like, their troops are on high alert over there, preparing for this.
Yeah, my feeling is that Trump, like a lot of liberals are saying, like, Trump is looking at everything from a economic standpoint. And I think that what they mean by that is they're looking at, oh, look, he's accepting gifts. I don't care about the gifts, like, whatever. If he doesn't even get to keep the one, but like, if he walked in basically holding BB's hand, saying, yeah, BB and I are best friends, who wants to make a deal with us? No Arab nation is going to take him seriously. So he kind of has to put himself off as if he's like going rogue. And I think he might be feeding into that in order to try and garner peace. I don't think that that's going to come to pass, unfortunately. I think you're 100% right. But I think how he's looking at it from an economic standpoint is that he's looking at it from like the very ground level. You know, what is the average, you know, poor citizen in some Arab nations' life looking like? Mm-hmm. And frankly, it sucks. And they don't have really anything to look forward to. And so they make religion such a big part of their life.
Right.
And because that's the case, You know, like they're so willing to throw their life away for literally nothing, for like a belief system that's about killing other people. And I think the best possible mindset that Trump has, if he's looking at it from this perspective, is, hey, let's offer them, you know, some type of way. Like that's kind of the idea behind Gaza. Is let's give them some kind of prosperous
Clinton's
call.
And Obama in the background telling them to hold off for the next 4 years until they get another person in.
Well, that's just not going to happen.
100%.
Shit, I didn't realize that was live.
Yeah, you're live, man. Yep, you did that. Yep.
But yeah, I think
that's what's happening. But I also think, I didn't realize I was live and I got a couple of thoughts to say. I think that as Trump's second term, he didn't get the 8 years that everybody else gets to build those relationships with those foreign people. So now he's doing what he can to build that, and he doesn't trust his own cabinet because the first time he was in office, they fucked him.
Okay, well, I think the flow of information, like, are you talking about he doesn't... Are you talking about the decisions he's currently making? Like, I'm confused by your statement there.
All of the information he got given during his first administration was pretty much by people who didn't want him in office. So now he's picked his cabinet, but he's still got to go in. Mind you, he doesn't trust anybody. He's got to go in, and he might be going over there talking to these leaders because he doesn't trust his own people. He's trying to get a vibe for them and how they're interacting and what are they saying versus what are other people saying.
But again, that's a silly take when it's well documented of what Jelani's done. I could buy that for Qatar. I could buy that for Saudi.
I don't disagree with anything about that. But another point I have is this whole war resurfaced after World War II. The whole religious war. If most of the Jews that were killed were from Europe, and they didn't have a country for several thousand years in the Middle East prior to that, why are they in Israel now?
I'm sorry, what's your complaint? You're saying that it didn't surface till after World War II? You understand that's a false premise to start this argument on, right?
Jews have lived in Israel Jews have ever existed. They've never left. They've just been largely exported to different places.
If everybody
that got killed, most of the people that got killed were European Jews, why are they in the Middle East? Why didn't we turn someplace like Poland?
And you understand? Hold on. You're saying that this huge problem with the Jews didn't start until after World War II. Is that what you're saying?
The modern problem, yes.
Okay, so yeah, obviously a modern problem would start in modern times, right? And if you're going to go back and you're going to take this historical stance, we can have a historical stance. So question for you, is it or is it not okay to take territory from other people? Is it okay to seize territory in warfare?
The idea of warfare is never okay. They're trying to justify it.
That wasn't the question I asked. I said, is it or is it not okay to seize territory like that? In your mind.
That's a loaded question, because if it's okay,
it's not a loaded question.
Then you're saying that war is okay, and war is not
okay. It's not a loaded question. Territory. It's not a loaded question at all. Territory. Now, listen, brother. I listened to you ramble for a long time, so please shut your mouth and let me make my point. Appreciate it. If it's okay to seize territory, the reason you have so many Jews over in Europe, the reason they're all over the damn place like that is because they ended up getting expelled over those thousands of years that you're talking about. That's why. And so when they move back to their, I'm trying to make my point, dude. If you can't shut the fuck up, I'm going to kick you off. It's a very simple thing that I asked of you. I asked you a very simple question, you refuse to answer it, and then I go to present facts and you try to talk over me. So if you want to sit here and spew your bullshit, At least wait a second and let me finish my line, and then you can spew your bullshit.
I mean, I'm
for thousands of years. Shut the fuck up, dude. Will you please shut the fuck up? For thousands of years. That's why they're at where they're at. And they had their land taken from them. Period. It is a historical fact. And so when I ask you whether or not it's okay to seize territory, and you claim it's a modern problem, you're pulling shit out of your ass. It's not a modern problem. It's a problem that's existed for thousands of years. And it didn't restart after World War II. I can show you pictures of Palestinian leadership meeting up with Adolf Hitler to go and massacre them during World War II. So it didn't start after. It's been an ongoing issue. And if it's okay to seize territory, then you got to accept the British mandate and you got to accept what took place in 1948. If it's okay to seize territory, if it's not okay to seize territory, then all of them need to GTFO out of Israel as we know it today. That's the point I'm trying to make, is the premise that the Israelis are starting this problem is complete and total bullshit. It was legally established.
It was legally established, but did anybody ask the people that lived there at the time what was going on?
Why is that even relevant?
I'm sure.
Who do you think it was that fought the?
Okay.
Who do you think it was that was fighting?
How is that relevant?
Who do you think it was that was fighting?
How is that relevant? It's a government.
How is it not relevant?
You
just asked. How is it not relevant? Okay, so first of all, you're comparing apples to oranges. First of all, you're comparing apples to oranges. You're comparing the United States of America to the British Mandate. That's apples to oranges. Second of all, the people that live there quite literally have bloodlines that are present-day Israelis that went under attack after the British mandate and after it was internationally recognized. That doesn't make your statement any more correct.
Look, this kind of thing happens a lot.
I'm not disagreeing that both parties are wrong.
What you are doing is interrupting everybody that speaks. So let me give me just a second here. So this kind of thing happens a lot. Now you're asking why, you know, there's always been Jews in Israel, that they've been there for 6,000 years, right? Now the numbers have fluctuated throughout history, which that happens. And after World War II, you ask why Jews didn't migrate to Poland, because that's where goddamn Auschwitz was. Jesus, right? That they probably didn't feel like home to them anymore. So some Jews that had money started buying land from Arabs that had goat herding, you know, operations in what is present day Israel. They bought it. They bought it from them. And then when the Jews showed up, they started building farms and digging wells, and they made the land prosperous and built a port and did all that stuff. And only then did the Arabs, once it looked like it was worth something, then the Arab Muslims said, no, this sucks. This is ours still, right? We want it back. And they fell back on their religious nonsense. So the Jews that came over after World War II predominantly bought the regions that they were living in. And then when the Arab Muslims attacked them, they said, okay, fine, we'll fight back and we'll kill you. If you're going to kill us and try to push us off the land that we purchased from you, we're going to kill you. So if you wonder how Jews migrated from Europe back to Israel after World War II, that's how it happened. They bought the land legally, fairly, and then the Muslims turned around and kind of reneged on that. And there was a lot of influence from Britain and drawing lines on maps that didn't help things. But yeah, they weren't there because they just showed up and got off a boat and started killing Arabs. It's bullshit. It's been bullshit since for 80 years. It's still bullshit. It's never going to stop being bullshit. So yeah, basically, you know, post crusade, Arab Muslims had access to, you know, the Holy Land, did nothing with it, let it fall apart, they were herding goats out in the desert, essentially. And then Jews came back, bought some property from them, turned it into a metropolis and a nice place, and then the Arabs wanted it back. It doesn't end.
Go ahead, man.
That's all I got.
Part of being being Jewish and religion and the Western religion, Judaism, modern Judaism and stuff, it's not necessarily Western, but you understand what I'm trying to say. the main basis behind that is turn the other cheek. If you get a rock thrown at you,
that's not true.
Keep your neighbor's rock.
That's not true.
No, turn the other cheek is actually a Christian concept. As a former Christian.
That.
And it's not, and it doesn't mean exactly what you think it either. It doesn't.
Chime in there. I'm Jewish. I grew up Jewish, Orthodox Jewish, and the statement you just made is like as far from false. Like it's so far away from being the truth that I had to step in here and say something. The point that Nate
personally,
made,
Well, you keep making false statements, man. Eye for an eye is a pretty accurate one, maybe.
The statement that Nate made is 100% correct. And to add to that, there were Jews that never left Israel. Like, I have family that go back way before Israel was the British mandate that lived in Israel, like from my mother's side. I'm talking about like when the Jews and the Arabs lived a very similar lifestyle, farming and in the land of Israel way before there was any mandate or any of these stuff. My mother lived through the Six-Day War, the Yom Kippur War in Israel while being a child. So yes, that statement that Jews rolled up off a boat from Europe and they just started taking over land in Israel, kicking the Arabs out of their houses, is such nonsense. It just shows how lack of education that people have of how actual the real history behind this is. That's pretty much it.
At the end of the day, this is my personal opinion. We should give the entire Middle East a 24-hour notice and just turn them into a giant glass parking lot.
Yeah, I don't agree with that statement either.
I mean, the only way that we're going to be able to solve this issue is if we just eliminate both sides of the problem, right?
No. False.
You're eliminating.
That's false. One side, that's a false statement. One side wants to live in peace, and the other side wants to go to war over a radical religious ideology.
Okay, but how do you define peace?
No war. People that aren't fighting. People that aren't fighting. Peace has a definition. I use the definition of peace. Would you like me to cite it off to you? Correct. But there is one side that is pushing extremist ideology. The reason Hamas attacked wasn't because they're inside Gaza. The Palestinians in Gaza were left alone. You understand the Palestinians in Gaza were left alone, don't you?
Yeah, bad times.
Okay, and what was the result of that? What's Hamas's goals? I can give you a million different reasons. I can give you a million different reasons. Pick a region because it's a different answer for every region. Pick a region. There's a different answer for each region. Same reason we're still in South Korea. Same reason we're still in frickin' Italy. Same reason we still have bases inside of Germany.
Can we take
Matt,
over
can I say something?
What happened when we pulled out of Afghanistan? What was the result of that?
I mean, we lost a bunch of guys, and that was fun.
I asked what the result of that was, and it wasn't on Trump. Trump actually ended up signing.
I didn't say Trump. I said we lost a bunch of guys, and it was fun.
No. When we end up pulling our influence out of a region, what happened in Afghanistan happens. It's the same reason we're still in Italy to this day. That's the same reason we are still in Germany. And that's the same reason we still have bases across the Middle East. They're little centers of diplomacy that help us keep a pulse on the area and push our policies and things like that to keep Americans safe here at home. And it also prevents, whether you like it or not, and again, whether you like it or not, it also helps prevent the massive murders that take place over there, all of the, like on a daily basis.
I mean, we're not perfect. Nobody is, but I think we should be doing a hell of a lot better. And we shouldn't be trying to look at these arbitrary border lines when we try to solve solutions. We should be looking at this tribe lives in this area and they have for thousands of years. I agree. And I'm uneducated in a lot of stuff. And I will 100% admit that. And I'm not trying to cause issues with nobody.
No.
I'm just saying, from an outside point of view, all of these lines we have drawn on paper are stupid.
Well, your outside point of view is uneducated. when I asked you what Hamas's goals were, you brought up just leave them alone. That's what you brought up, just leave them alone. And I pointed out to you that the Palestinians inside Gaza were quite literally left alone. As a matter of fact, they were giving, they were given things. They were given electricity, they were given food, they were given water, they were legitimately supported by Israel and the international community, and they were left alone. And if you go and you read Hamas's goals, if you go and you read Hamas's goals, or even look at the nickname of the operation that they conducted on October 7th, which was the Al-Aqsa Flood, you know what the Al-Aqsa Mosque is.
It says, at the National Parks and Wildlife Place, do not feed the wildlife as it creates a foreign.
Do you know what the Al-Aqsa Mosque is?
Why are we doing that to our enemies? Why are we doing...
And Matt, can I interject here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I closed that down for a second.
I'm just going to quote Mark Twain when he said, no amount of evidence will ever persuade an idiot. So perhaps we should just move on.
Yeah. Can we talk about the actual subject at hand? How crazy is it that last term, Trump boasts on public TV how he made sure that al-Baghdadi is dead and how he died like a dog, and in this term shakes hands with his successor, the person that practically took over Baghdadi's operation?
Well, see, now I got to correct for you, sure. Texas. He didn't take over Baghdadi's operation. He didn't. He actually refused to get balled up underneath al-Baghdadi. But
so what? So he what? They created his own Baghdadi operation?
Correct. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. Well,
Baghdadi was his mentor, no?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, he worked for Baghdadi underneath AQI, got sent into Syria to go recruit for AQI, ended up, founding the al-Nusra Front, which Baghdadi then ordered the al-Nusra Front to fall up underneath ISIS. And Jelani didn't want to do that, so he recruited a bunch of other jihadists and founded ANF or NHGS, excuse me.
Which is wild that you have now the president of the United States shaking hands with him.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I just find that wild.
Yeah, it's wrong. Yeah, you shouldn't be doing it.
I don't understand why he's in Qatar. I know that's the whole point of this discussion. I don't get it.
Well,
I do. I think I understand that. I think because there's so many like FTO leadership that live there because it's a nice place to live. And I think he realizes that the, you know, Qatari government can pressure them to do things, which I do think that the Qatari government pressured them to release that hostage the other day, Eden.
I think it has a lot to do with Ukraine and Russia too.
I agree.
I do too. I think the whole oil thing is relating to that. Yeah, I do too.
Qatar was involved in some of the most publicized foreign captured soldiers. Saudi and Qatar were both involved in mediating the release of those soldiers that were fighting in Ukraine. So, like, they've always had like a open sort of line, kind of with Russia through Ukraine. I think that it has a lot to do with Russia and Ukraine as well. I think that people like kind of like talk about the wrong things when it comes out of this trip that Trump just took to the Middle East. I think that people focus on that jet and then on a few other things versus like the real like little hints that Trump is saying. He's saying that he has a busy schedule, but if needed, he'll fly to Turkey tomorrow. If Putin really wants him there and Putin is willing to show up, he's doing like these little weird statements that he gives out. Where I think it has way more to do with Ukraine and Russia than it has to do with any of the other things that's happening in the region.
No, I agree. I think it really like it has to do with Europe and Europe in general, not just Ukraine and Russia. So finding an alternate source of energy for Europe is good because that means that the Europeans no longer are beholden to Russia, who tries to dominate Western Europe.
Right.
So, I mean, even outside of the Russia-Ukraine conflict, there's a lot of other things going on that just makes Europe a better group of friends to have if they're not constantly having to rely on Russia all the time and kind of bend to their will. So But the end result is, yes, it does affect the Russo-Ukrainian conflict a lot. If Europe's doing well and not dependent on Russian energy anymore, Russia's pretty much, you know, a big forest at that point. Like, there's, yeah, they don't really have anything else going on, so.
Pretty much.
Well,
okay, but, like, what positive, like, could Trump have elicited from this visit?
Well,
trade deals, money is all that rotates around that region of the power, money mostly. So if he brings back trade deals, he lifts sanctions on Syria. Now Saudi, which is an ally, can Qatar can start doing business more openly with Syria. That now they start making a new revenue without having problems. That's for them worth so much that there is a lot that they'd be willing to do in order to do certain things for this to happen. I think that publicized statement that Trump gave sitting around the round circle with all the leaders from the region. You had Lebanon over there and whatnot that he was talking about. I think there was a few things. I rewatched it, and I'm going to watch it a few more times, but there's a few things Trump says in a statement, like little words, and he niggles and smirks behind it that are so much deeper. And part of it is fact, is if these guys say, you know what, we're with you, let's play your game, now Russia's really screwed. Like, he was, like, basically saying, like, Iran's gotta end that stuff because we're gonna have to take care of it. And he kept on saying how they're threatening all of you guys' region and businesses. And we know that. We know that you have the Houthis in Yemen. Who has the most, which other country has the most financial interest in Yemen? Saudi. Saudi has, like even in the Signalgate leak, one of the messages was, we have to make sure not to hurt the Saudi oil interests while we do these attacks. So all of this it's so intertwined. And if all of this actually comes to that level, I think it's basically the gang that can tell Iran and Russia and China, y'all are screwed.
Yeah. All right, guys. I've got things I have to accomplish. I'm going to crank out another video today, probably situation dependent. And I'll be back on 9 p.m. Central Standard Time. Tonight, Texas, you doing good over there, brother?
I am doing wonderful.
Nate, closing thoughts?
Nate's muted.
Yeah, he is. I mean, it's just funny to watch him talk.
Let's just pull the Band-Aid off and start yeeting bombs at Iran and get it over with, because it's going to happen eventually. Touch it.
No.
I vote aye.
Aye.
Well, you have a great
the
day
eyes have
and
it.
Looking forward to your next one.
All right, brother, take care, everybody. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me for another episode of the Speak the Truth podcast. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to the channel, make sure your notification bell is turned on, consider becoming a true supporter. Helps the channel out, keeps us freaking moving along.